pretending to be the president. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. That's what a former White House lawyer is doing to help Joe Biden get ready for tomorrow night's first debate. Fox's Rachel Sutherland has more live.
Dave, the Democratic presidential nominee has been practicing with former Obama counsel Bob Bauer, standing in as President Trump, ahead of the first debate, moderated by Fox's Chris Wallace. White House spokeswoman Kayleigh McEnany told Fox and Friends how the president is getting ready.
The president went through a number of topics during his preparation yesterday, but as he has said vocally and publicly, his debate prep happens each and every day.
Joe Biden has rejected President Trump's request for a drug test, his campaign saying if the president thinks his best case is made in urine, he can have at it. Dave?
Now, Rachel, one issue not among the six on Wallace's list of topics might come up anyway. The president's tax returns. A New York Times report says he paid just $750 in federal income taxes in 2016 and in 2017. But for 10 of the 15 prior years, he paid none. Donald Trump Jr. told Fox,
"It's ridiculous. My father's paid tens of millions of taxes. If he does things in certain years where you get depreciation, where you get write-off, where you get historical tax credits like we did when we took on the risk of building the old post office in D.C., it's the perfect example."
Arraignments today for Brett Hankinson, the only Louisville police officer charged in the much-protested deadly raid on Breonna Taylor's home in March. A grand jury did not indict the other two cops who fired the shots that killed her, adding to the tension.
The attorney for Kenneth Walker, Breonna Taylor's boyfriend, who police say fired the first shot that hit officer Jonathan Mattingly in the leg as police raided Taylor's apartment, says that a Kentucky State Police ballistics report says that they could not conclude that that shot came from Walker's gun.
That's Fox's Brian Yenis in Louisville. The Taylor family wants all the evidence from the grand jury released, saying they do not have faith in the Attorney General in Kentucky. America's listening to Fox News.
Paid for by Lose Debts. Attention, this is a very important message to anyone with debt exceeding $10,000. With the worldwide stock markets free-falling, coronavirus being labeled a global pandemic, cities and whole countries in quarantine and layoffs picking up speed, the last thing you need to worry about is your credit card bills. Due to the recent global events, a special debt relief helpline has been created for anyone with over $10,000 in debt. But you must call us at 800-805-7728. As banks shore up capital bracing for a recession, they are willing to settle your debt for a fraction of what you owe, making it a perfect time to eliminate your debt and save your money during these tough economic times. There are no upfront fees, and we offer a 100% money-back guarantee. But you must call us at 800-805-7728. This opportunity won't last long, so call us today at 800-805-7728. You have enough to worry about. Settle your debt and remove that unneeded stress. 800-805-7728. That's 800-805-7728.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters, and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Truckmates, Yuma's Fix Up, your pickup truck store. It's Yuma's home for Snug Top shells and lids. Snug Top, designed and manufactured to the highest standard. Industry-leading quality and trend-setting design that protect and complement your vehicle. That's Snug Top. Truckmates is also your Line-X spray-in bed liner dealer. Line-X, number one in America for spray-in bed liners. With nationwide warranty coverage, is now available and installed by Yuma's most experienced spray-on team at Truckmates. So protect your vehicle inside and out with Line-X spray and bed liners and Snug Top shells and lids at Truckmates. Truckmates is also your home for BDS suspensions, the highest quality aftermarket suspension lift kits, leveling kits, and accessory for 4x4 off-road truck and Jeep enthusiasts. And BDS suspensions are backed by the best lifetime warranty in the industry. BDS suspensions, Line-X spray and bed liners, and Snug Top shells and lids at Truckmates in this brand new building, same location, 32nd Street next to Lowe's.
At 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating, we offer essential services to help keep your home comfortable. We all know comfort is key in these challenging times. If your air system is giving you trouble, contact our team of professionally trained technicians. We are here for you 24/7 with same-day appointments available at 844-1-HOUR or visit us online at 1hourair.com.
Comfort is just a call away.
Here's millionaire Mark Kelly talking about health care.
We need to make it more affordable and surprise billing.
Seriously, Mark? Kelly got paid tens of thousands of dollars to help direct a medical transportation company while their patients were charged, you guessed it, exorbitant surprise medical bills. Mark Kelly sat on the board of directors collecting a paycheck as his company sued repeatedly to collect on six-figure bills, threatening to hold patients liable. One stroke victim even feared bankruptcy after Kelly's company sent a bill for $500,000. And as usual, Kelly got paid. Now he says,
we need to make it more affordable. End surprise billing.
Reject millionaire Mark Kelly. He'd do or say anything for a dollar. Defend Arizona, paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. It's not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.defendarizona.org.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, with four locations to serve all of your tire needs.
News, talk, sports, and up-to-date weather from 560 KBLU.
Sunny and hot week with 103 the high this afternoon, 73 overnight tonight, calm winds. Sunny and 104 tomorrow, 72 for tomorrow night, west winds at 5 to 10. 106 and sunny on Wednesday.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Decent Garner Law Firm, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hansen.
Good morning, Yuma. Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. I'm in the studio today with the one and only Mr. Russ Clark.
Good morning.
And we've got a lot to talk about today. There's been a lot in the news. You're being bombarded, I'm sure, on your phones and on your computers at work and things like that through your email about the recent events that we saw over the past weekend. Obviously, we've got a huge role that needs to be filled in the Supreme Court, and that was filled, well, I shouldn't say filled, but the nomination was made over the weekend on Saturday by the president. According to his promise, he had been saying that he had already had a list for years. I mean, he put forth a list back in 2016 prior to his running for president, and so this list has kind of expanded. Some have fallen off, some have come on. Have come on over the years, but the reality is there's a lot of individuals that he selected to put on his list to replace justices on the Supreme Court that are still there and still remain. The one that was selected, Amy Barrett, Judge Barrett, she was a circuit judge that was put on during the Trump administration in the circuit courts, and so she got the call up or the nomination on Saturday by the president. If you had an opportunity to watch that, at the White House, it was pretty cool.
That was a nice little assembly there in Rose Garden.
As the president was talking, I was really impressed at her credentials. I'd already known a little bit about her. In the legal world, you look to these justices as kind of like, I wouldn't say role models, but you do look to them as, you have your favorites and you have your enemies on the Supreme Court. And through law school, basically law school, all it's about is studying Supreme Court cases that have defined laws over the course of our United States history and whether those are constitutional or not. And so you get to know through history these justices that have served on the Supreme Court, because sometimes you'll have a justice in history that wrote the deciding opinion, and you'll have some that you kind of favor because of their leanings one way or another. When I say leanings, I don't mean liberal or conservative necessarily, but rather upholding the context of the Constitution in their eyes. And as I went through law school, I found myself siding on opinions that were coming out of Alito, Thomas.
Scalia.
Yeah, Scalia. Scalia was awesome. He's like a lion on the court. And I never found myself, taking on the opinions of a Ginsburg, for example,
right,
or other purported liberal justices. And the reason why is because I couldn't find myself connecting their particular opinions or reasoning to constitutionality.
Right.
It was more from a view of an agenda and a social justice type of crusade. And most of the time, those opinions didn't win out because you had individuals on the court that were more concerned about constitutionality and whether that particular issue that was being argued before them was constitutional or not, as it was interpreted by those that formed our country and the Constitution. And without restricting rights or giving willy-nilly rights to people over the years. So it was for myself, from my background going through law school and the way that you come to know these justices, it's an exciting event to see a Supreme Court justice nominated. And you don't get to see very many. Most people don't get to see very many, but this past decade we've seen quite a bit. We've seen Kavanaugh, we've seen now Barrett, just in the Trump administration alone, and Gorsuch right off the bat. Neil Gorsuch was the first one off the bat, and then we have Kavanaugh, and now we have Amy Barrett. And what I was really... So I contrast the experience that I saw when President Trump announced Amy, and then she came up to the podium, and she gave a little speech. And what I really loved about her speech was that she said, I knew Justice Ginsburg personally because she was a clerk for Scalia and one of his favorite clerks. And they say that she's in the mold of Scalia, and that means she's a constitutionalist. She doesn't want us to, as a country, be dictated to by radical agendas. Just because you think this is a social or a popular thing in our society doesn't mean that it's constitutional or not. And so she is in the mold of Scalia. She was a clerk for him for many years, about 20 years ago, and that made me happy. And what was interesting was she said, I knew Justice Ginsburg, I knew Scalia, and despite them warring on paper in these opinions, because they would go back and forth, as you read these Supreme Court opinions, you'd have Scalia, who's on one side of the argument, and then you'd have Ginsburg and her writings that would be the complete polar opposite and almost, I would say, kind of radical opinion as it pertains to constitutionality. And you'd have these two individuals warring on paper. But what she said during her nomination ceremony was that, personally, behind the doors, they were wonderful friends, and they could get along. They could have differing opinions, but they still got along, even though they didn't agree politically or socially on a lot of different things. They were wonderful friends. And so I thought, oh, this is really good. You know, I'm glad she put it into context. I felt like that was a great way to bring context to what's going on in the news media. And so what I did an exercise after I watched that. I on my phone, I just went to Google and I put in her name, Amy Barrett, and I was interested to see what kind of articles would come up. You know, what I wanted to learn a little bit more about her background. And she's a mother of seven and things like that, and she's the first Supreme Court nominee that is a mother with children in the home. That's never been done before. And so I thought, oh, man.
It's got seven of them.
I'm sure the left will absolutely love this. I mean, aren't they for women's rights and things like that? I mean, how higher can you get than this nomination? And an advocate for family values, an advocate for religion, an advocate for a working mother. You know, how awesome is that? And I was really surprised that when I put those words in, Amy Barrett, and I went to news feed articles, I couldn't find a single article that was positive for her appointment, which is really weird because I think it was 3 years ago when she was nominated and confirmed to the district court as a federal judge, there are many Democrats that passed her right through because of her credentials.
Right.
And her
everybody but Feinstein.
Yeah, true.
Too much dogma.
Now today, no, they can't do that. And it's been an interesting turn of events. And we'll talk about that a little bit more after the break. We'll be right back after this. This is 560 AM KVLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
More thought-provoking conversation coming up next on Life, Death, and the Law, right here after this.
Hey. Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Fox News at the top of the hour. Brought to you by Air Central Heating and Cooling. Give Air Central a call or just log on to acyuma.com. News Talk 560 KBOU, where you're always right. Arizona's deaf, hard of hearing, and deafblind community is disproportionately unemployed. Those that do have jobs are typically underemployed. That's why the Arizona Commission for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing has launched Let's Get to Work, the first ever statewide employment initiative undertaken by the commission. Learn more at changeyourperception.org. The commission is here to help Arizona businesses hire our community members. That's changeyourperception.org.
PhD. Professional home doctor.
When it rains, it pours, and when it pours through a leak or a pipe breaks, it means water damage to your home. If you experience flood or water damage, you need to act quickly to eliminate the possibility of mold infestation. With 24-hour emergency service, trust PhD, the professional home doctors, to return your home to its pre-damaged condition. Call 341-9111 or go to phdyuma.com.
The Russ Clark Show is brought to you by Quick Refrigeration, now offering excellence in professional plumbing services as well as heating and air conditioning. Visit them at getcoolquick.com and listen to Russ Clark Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Deason Garner Law Firm.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. I'm Attorney Adam Hansen. I'm in the studio today with the one and only Mr. Russ Clark, pushing the buttons, doing stuff that I can't even comprehend. They don't let me touch the buttons.
Pretty simple stuff, man.
Before the break, we were talking about the nominee to the Supreme Court, and I'm sure you've heard, or there's someone in your social network that has brought it to your attention of what's going on, and to a certain extent, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. Before I get too far into that, though, I just wanted to make mention of your services, Russ. I took something to Russ's shop, Precision Auto and Automotive, and I had an engine issue, and Russ's team over there were just fantastic. I mean, you guys took care of us so well, so fast, so hospitable, and it was great. I hadn't experienced that before with an automotive club, and so
Chris
it was great
you.
To... Does he?
He likes you.
Good. That's good to be on the good side of it.
Though.
Yeah. No, he was a great mechanic and definitely knows what he's doing. And so Precision Automotive, I mean, I can't speak highly enough about it. You guys are doing a good thing over there. Good job. Keep that up.
Thank you.
A couple weeks ago, I talked about the new propositions that are on the ballots. We're going to be receiving our ballots. If you're doing the mail-in stuff, it'll be coming next Monday, I believe, the 5th, October 5th. So look for those ballots. And I would encourage you, I don't typically do this, but... having researched it, and I think you should research it as well, but you've got two propositions coming up, 207 and 208. 207 is the marijuana legalization here in Arizona, and the way that they propose this is, oh, it's for the children. You know, let's make marijuana legal, and then we'll tax it at a high level, and we'll take that money, and we'll help the children with it. I don't fall into that trap. There's a lot of back-end money that's coming into Arizona to try and push that through. I do know why. Arizona is become kind of purple with Maricopa County.
Yeah.
You've got blue and red, and so we've become not as red as we used to be. And so there's a lot of outside sources that are looking to Arizona to...
Tons of money being poured in. And it's not just to make marijuana legal, it's to make it legal recreationally. It's already legal medically.
That's right, yep. Yeah. Good distinguishment, and don't be fooled by outside people coming in to tell Arizona how we need to legalize marijuana for recreational use. The studies now that we've seen this in other states, like I mentioned a few weeks ago, are showing that the emergency room admittals for admittances for younger kids and babies even has spiked in those states that have legalized marijuana for recreational use. And they're tying that back because in studies, studies show that about 5 to 6 times using marijuana recreationally, yes, you get your buzzes and things like that, but about the 7th, 8th time, you start to have these psycho lapses that you can't control. And so we're seeing a lot of issues arise in these states that have legalized it for recreational use.
Well, and DUIs.
And DUIs. Mm-hmm.
And they can't really differentiate the level of toxicity from the THC. And so they can't really, like alcohol, we know it's 0.08. There is no point anything for THC. They don't really have that kind of testing available. So it's a bad deal.
And let me remind you, this isn't on a federal level, so that doesn't mean that you can travel from here to California or to New Mexico or even to Phoenix going through that checkpoint, the Border Patrol checkpoint from here to Phoenix right here. If you have marijuana in your car, you're going somewhere. They're going to get you. And
oh, yeah, if the drug dogs hit it, it's
theirs. And they will. They're going to get it. And so, you can't say, oh, well, it's legal here recreationally in Arizona. They don't care.
You can
try. Federally, it's a crime. Good luck with that. And typically it means prison time and fines. So it's a bad deal. So you'll see signs around that says, yes to 207, don't do it. It's bad for Arizona. There's a lot of outside money. About $4 million has been poured into Arizona from outside sources. To fund this campaign, and it's not good for Arizona. The second proposition that you're going to see on the ballot come next Monday is 208. And 208, same thing, oh, it's for the children. And so this is tied to taxing, a huge increase on taxable income for those that make $250,000 or above. And there's always arguments, oh, well, they make a lot of money anyway. We might as well just take it from them.
Well, that's small businesses. That's farmers. And look, these guys are making it on paper more than 250 because they got to reinvest and stuff. But it'll devastate. It's a 77% tax increase.
Yeah, and not only that, but they tie it to, well, it's for education. Really, economically, it's not even a drop in the bucket. If you're going to add money to the coffers for education, you're going to have to do it another way. And statistically and economically, they've done studies and research to show if we do implement 208, it really will have no effect on growing the funds for education. Rather, what they're trying to do is they're trying to move towards a California system where we unionize the public education system. And if we were to do that, and we looked a little bit more like California's education system, my brother, I've said this before, he is an educator in California. He's a superintendent over in the districts there. He's been there for over 15 years. And he tells me stories of how there are things that are done by teachers that you would be appalled by, but they can't fire them. They are so entrenched, and they've got so many unions backing them that it's almost impossible to fire a teacher over there, even for gross, gross things. And we don't want that in Arizona. I'm not saying that teachers are not important. Teachers are supremely important, but when we unionize the teachers, we lose power to get the bad ones out that need to get out. Maybe teaching is not right for them. And once they're unionized, it's very, very difficult to undo that. And that's really what 208 is designed to do. But they won't tell you that. Instead, what they say is, oh, these rich people don't need money. Let's take it from them and put it into the education fund. But in reality, it's really to prop up unionization of the public school districts. And so I would encourage you to say 207, 208, no, on your ballots. Mark those no.
Those are easy.
But don't take my word for it. Do your own research. I'm telling you the things that I've researched and what I've found as I looked into them. None of them came from Arizona. They were all put on the docket because of outside money and outside interests. So take that in mind as well as you see those on the docket. So that's 207, 208. Say no to those. But do your research. Don't just take my word for it. And that's going to be coming this next Monday, I believe, once you get your ballots in the mail, those that have applied for them.
Yep.
So look for those on the ballot. Getting back to the replacement on the Supreme Court for Justice Ginsburg, it's really kind of ironic because 4 years ago, if you look at the history here, 29 times in the United States history, this has happened where you have a president in his fourth year that has the opportunity to nominate a replacement on the Supreme Court, and this is one of those years. And so, out of all 29 years, or episodes that this has happened over the course of our 200-year history, every 29 times, the president has made a nomination.
Sure.
So what happened was, when Ginsburg died 2 weeks ago, first you hear from the Democratic Party, oh, you can't make a nomination. That would be so, unbecoming of a president to make a nomination, number one, because of she was such a great person, and her legacy, you know, that would just be bad form.
It was her dying wish.
And it was her dying, yeah. Says who? A purported daughter said that she said that on her deathbed, and she wrote it down. Yeah, okay. I'm sure she could set a lot.
It still Ginsburg doesn't make it
better,
law.
Yeah, and Ginsburg knew better than anybody that Supreme Court justices don't pick their successors. That's completely unconstitutional. Yeah. So if that was her dying wish, that had no bearing on constitutionality or process. 200 years of process shows that is not the way that you do it. Not only that, but the Constitution says that it's the president, the executive branch, that nominates the successor to the Supreme Court, and the Senate confirms that. And so if there's no confirmation in the Senate, then it just gets delayed. And I think, so first of all, the argument was, oh, you can't do that because that's bad form. Well, 29 years, or 29 times this has happened in the past, and all 29 times the president always nominates the Supreme Court justice. We've got a call on the line. We're going to take that real quick. You got it, Russ?
Yeah, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful, thank you. I think when you say that the presidents have had opportunity, I think it's more like they have an obligation, because he's the president from now till come January 21, and then he'll get re-sworn again. But it's an obligation to continue our country where it's at. And to play politics on who or what it's just totally wrong. It's like saying, well, you know what, I'm not gonna vote to give you your stimulus package because I'm really close to re-election time. How come that, you know, the country can't stop?
Absolutely, and I'm glad you brought that up. When I say opportunity, I mean these justices are appointed for life, and so there's not all presidencies don't have the opportunity to put a justice on the court, because that just falls where these justices don't die or they don't retire. Sandra Day O'Connor actually retired. She got off the court before she passed away, but most of them will die because
right.
They're lifelong justices. And so that's why I meant by opportunity. But I absolutely agree with you that it is the presidential obligation to appoint, if it happens in the fourth year, a nominee to the court. And really the reason is because constitutionally that's what you're to do. Precedent for 200 years has shown that you are to do that. And so President Trump was right when he said, I'm going to do that. Now it's on the Senate to either confirm or not confirm the appointee that the president has made. And prior to this, going into this whole debate of who's going to come in and should the president even nominate somebody, the Senate had already talked about it and had in the, at least in the news articles that I read, they had already confirmed that those that were more center of the aisle voting in the past were in fact going to confirm the appointee if it was a valid and qualified appointee by the president. And that was a fear too going into this, that maybe Mitt Romney would swing over to the Democratic side saying, you know, this is not appropriate for a sitting president to do or for the Senate to confirm, but rather we need to know who's going to be the president January 1 of 2021 before we actually confirm a nominee by the president. And in fact, Romney came out and said, no, I'm going to vote for the confirmation of the nominee of the president if he or she is qualified and a good candidate. And so he already affirmed that, and several others of those that tend to lean a little bit more towards the center when it comes to voting on legislative issues, they all confirmed that, no, they're going to move forward. If it's a qualified candidate, they're going to move forward with it. And so now there's an outcry. There's an outcry in the Senate And in the House, you know, how could Republicans possibly do this? It's such bad form in the memory of Ginsburg that you put this lady on the court who is the polar opposite of her. She didn't stand for women's rights. She didn't stand for these radical things that Ginsburg stood for, like abortion and things like that. And all the work that Ginsburg did over these years is all going to be undone. And that would be true if the nominee was an advocate. Or a person that was saying, you know what, I don't care about the Constitution. I only care about what I believe. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a minute. This is Life, Death, and the Law. We'll be right back after this.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Weeds can rob your alfalfa of valuable moisture and nutrients, affecting yield and quality. Count on Eptam 7E to control annual grasses and broadleaf weeds in your new and established alfalfa crop. Years of grower experience proves Eptam 7E provides excellent control of annual grasses, key broadleaf weeds, and some perennial weeds. Contact your local distributor to schedule Eptam 7E for your alfalfa this season. Always read and follow label directions. From Gowan USA, proud to be family owned in the USA for over 50 years.
Hi, I'm Joel John, and I'm running to be your next state representative in District 4. You need someone who's here, not spending all their time in Phoenix. I'm a fourth-generation Arizonan and former public school teacher. I grew up in this district. My small business takes me from Yuma County to Gila Bend. I've been in your neighborhood meeting folks, and I know you want a representative who will listen and represent you. Well, you can count on that. On November 3rd, I humbly ask for your vote. Learn more at joeljohn.com. Paid for by Joel John for House LD4. I'm Joel John, and I approve this message.
Sprague Sports is Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters. Why? Because Sprague Sports is the difference. Where else can you buy, sell, trade, or consign firearms with free expert appraisals always? There is nothing like Sprague Sports. And with local price matching, you can buy with confidence at Sprague's. And all Sprague's firearms come with a lifetime warranty. And talk about customer service. There's a gunsmith always on duty. Sprague's is your Remington warranty center. And when you need it, there's expert one-day sight-in service. But that's not all. Sprague Sports has got training courses, including Arizona CCW, First Shot, Hunter Education, and more. Sprague handles Glock, Blue Label pistols, and is your NFA dealer in suppressors and full autos. That's why we call them the experts. And Sprague's is Yuma's Yeti headquarters. The best Yeti selection and free ice for life. Sprague's has a 10-lane rifle-certified indoor shooting range and gun rentals you can try before you buy. Serving Yuma's shooting and outdoor needs since 1956. That's the Sprague's difference. Sprague's, 32nd Street, next to Lowe's.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Deason Garner Law Firm.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and Law. I'm attorney Adam Hansen. I'm in the studio today with the one and only Mr. Russ Clark, and we've been talking a lot today about the happenings over the weekend where President Trump took the opportunity, like I mentioned before, and really, like the caller said, it is his constitutional obligation to appoint a new nominee to the Supreme Court to replace Justice Ginsburg, who died about 2 weeks ago, two weeks from last Friday. And her body laid in state for about a week, and after that was done, and appropriately so, the president took the opportunity to nominate his nominee, Justice Barrett.
And Phil Townsend reminds us that Sandra Day O'Connor is still alive and living in a home in Phoenix.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Well, you had mentioned she died.
I didn't mean to say that. No, I said she retired.
Oh, I know.
I said she retired, but the others usually die. So Scalia, for example, Ginsburg, usually they'll die. And that's why, going back to the other caller, he said it's really not an opportunity. It's the obligation of the president. I meant opportunity in the sense that not every president gets to nominate anybody to the Supreme Court, because usually they don't die during their presidency. Sandra Day O'Connor was a rare instance where she stepped down. She retired. But that doesn't always happen.
Yeah, not many did.
Most of them die, and that's what I meant by the opportunity was afforded the president. In fact, he's had three of them now. And, yes, it is his obligation as well constitutionally to appoint.
Three in 4 years is a high number.
It's awesome, yeah. And he'll probably have about two more if he's elected president in November. So having said that, Mr. Townsend is exactly right. Sandra Day O'Connor is alive and well. In fact, the law school at ASU is named after her, and she frequently speaks there on occasion, and she was great. I mean, she's a wonderful woman. And she stepped down, and Ginsburg was purported to say that she was going to retire as well when she thought Hillary Clinton was going to win in 2016, and that was the reason why she didn't step down. She thought that Hillary Clinton was going to win, and so she was going to hold out for that and then retire that during that presidency, and that would allow Clinton to now nominate her choice to the Supreme Court, which was really kind of a bad idea. I mean, at the time, she was still 78, I believe, and not in good health. She'd been fighting cancer for many years, but that's what she felt she was inclined to do. Unfortunately for her plan, it didn't work out that way. President Trump, you know, obviously won in 2016, and that allowed him to now replace her on the Supreme Court with his nominee, which was put on a list many months ago as to a good replacement for any of the justices that were to either pass away or retire. And so now we are where we are now, and now you've got this fight back and forth between Senate Democrats and Senate Republicans. The Republicans have the vote in the Senate to confirm the nominee. But the word on the street now is that Democrats are going to try every tactic in the book procedurally to not allow it to happen before November 3rd. The reality is most of us will already have voted for a president by then, and the election is probably already over before November 3rd just because of the mail-ins that are going out right now. And I think for me, it is the singular issue that is of most importance to me as a voter is the Supreme Court nominees and those that are going to go to the court. When President Trump, back in his candidacy 2016 timeframe, leading up to that election, he had, and this was the first time that the president nominee or a potential president had ever released their potential list of nominees to the Supreme Court. It hadn't happened before. But President Trump, coming up into that election, said, listen, if I'm elected your president, this is my list. I will pick somebody from this list. And we had the opportunity as voters to think, well, maybe he's going to be true to that list. Maybe he's lying about it. But everyone on the list that I vetted and as I went through that list was a person that I would want on the Supreme Court because of their dedication to constitutional values and their dedication to the text of the Constitution. And so I was a fan of those that he put on that list. And I believe, I don't know if this is true or not, but I believe there were a lot back in that time frame. We didn't know a lot about President Trump because the media, just like it is now, you don't know if it's relevant information, you know if it's accurate, you don't know. And he was being bombarded through the news cycles as well as to how horrible a person he was and his values as a liar and as a person that just bankrupts companies, and he really doesn't have this much money, and he needs to release his tax records and things like that. So this was all going in the media, but at the end of the day, he had released a list of nominees that he would put forward for the Supreme Court if he were elected. And my voting that election was based on that particular list, because when I compared that to who Obama had put forward, Obama had the opportunity, again, because Scalia died during his fourth year, about 11 months before the election, and so Obama did have the opportunity to nominate a person to the Supreme Court to fill Scalia's position.
Which he did.
Which he did. But the Senate did not confirm that nominee, mainly because it was controlled by the Republican Party. And therefore, they said, no, we're not going to do that. This guy's too radical. We're not going to put him on our court because he's already avowed to push gay marriage-type issues, to push abortion-type issues, and make those rights constitutionally based, when, in fact, most of the court justices at the time, even Scalia, did not find basis in the Constitution for giving these rights under our Constitution. Just because you're born in our country, you have a right to abortion or you have a right to gay marriage, or that's going to be a federal issue is really what it was about, not so much that you have a right to it, but that the federal government has a say in it. To that point, it was really based on the state-by-state basis. They were the ones, and traditionally, historically, they are the ones, the states are the ones that decide what is legal marriage and what is not. And that's been the argument in the Supreme Court. Well, back in, 2011, I believe it was, when gay marriage was made legal nationwide because of the Obergefell case coming out of New York. It was a tax case, but it went all the way to the Supreme Court. The court, in that particular instance, they used a due process clause of the Constitution to say, no, the states do not have the ability constitutionally to say that gay marriage is illegal. And that's basically what overturned years, decades of precedents under the Constitution. And in that particular opinion, Scalia himself was a dissenting vote. He didn't vote for that because he said there is no tie to the Constitution on how the majority in this particular case is getting there. This is not a constitutional basis, and therefore it shouldn't be going forward. And so you fast forward till today, and you've got Justice Barrett, who's been nominated. And so three years ago when she was put onto, 2 years ago I think it was, onto the district court level by President Trump, she was nominated. A lot of the Democrats in the Senate actually went along with that because of her vast intelligence, number one. Number two, her history of being constitutionally minded. She's a staunch Catholic, but she still says that I have the ability to put that aside when it comes to interpreting the Constitution as it applies to this particular case or this law.
I think five of them are Catholic right now on the court.
I'm not quite sure. I think Gorsuch is. I think maybe all three that President Trump put on the court nominated are Catholic. Brett Kavanaugh is as well. That came out in the hearings as well. And we're going to see that. So now we're going to start hearings in the Senate about, I think, mid-next week, where they're going to bring Amy Barrett in front of the Judiciary Committee, and they're going to decide, or I guess not decide, I shouldn't say it that way, but they're going to grill her, and rightfully so. They need to ask her appropriate questions that will get to the bottom of whether, number one, she is going to let her personal biases get in the way of deciding a case, and number two, is she going to uphold the constitutional principles that are outlined expressly in the Constitution. Those are really what those hearings are about. But they really don't even need to do them. I mean, there's nothing that forces them to do these hearings. It's just over time that's what's happened. And so the Democratic Party has already mentioned, those Democrats in the Senate have already said, well, we need to have the people decide through voting in our next president who they want on the court. It's completely hypocritical that the Senate majority Republicans are trying to get this nominee appointed and confirmed before the election. But Ted Cruz on the Senate floor, I think this was about a week and a half ago, he laid out the case pretty well. He said 29 times in our history this has happened. It's not a unique thing. We've seen this before. Yeah. Out of all those 29 times, 19 of those times, the president and the power, the party in power in the Senate that confirms the nominee are of the same party. Out of 19 of those past historical times in our 200-year history, 17 of those times, when the president appoints a nominee, the Senate confirms. 17 out of those 19 times. So history is on the side of what the Senate is deciding to do. And out of those other times, those 10 times that are left, it's never the appointee has never been confirmed. meaning when the president is not of the same party as the majority in the Senate, but in all 29 times, the president has always appointed his nominee, but the Senate will never, ever go forward with confirming that nominee, which has happened before in Obama's administration. So year four of Obama, Obama appointed somebody. The Senate was not controlled by the Democratic Party. It was still
controlled by Merrick Garland.
Yep. And so the Senate, Mitch McConnell, the leader, he said, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to push forward Obama's nominee because we want essentially the argument the Democrats are making right now. But in that particular case, they're saying we fell on precedence because our 200-year history shows that the Senate never confirms the nominee of the president if it's of a different party. It's never happened before, and we're gonna use that as our precedent. And so now it's flipped, where both the president and the Senate are controlled by the same party, the Republican Party, and they're going to move forward with the confirmation. But the Democrats, they know that, and there's nothing really they can do about it unless they try and throw a wrench in it procedurally. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. We'll be right back after this. This is Life, Death, and Law, 560 AM, KBLU.
That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Is a college education a dream you hold for your newborn? It's important to take steps to begin meeting this financial challenge. To learn about flexible college savings programs, contact Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. They can help you plan today so you're prepared for tomorrow's college expenses. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Fox News on AM 560 Radio is brought to you by Air Central Heating and Cooling. Kennedy said, only a few generations have been granted the role of defending freedom in its hour of maximum danger. You and I are that generation.
Contest rules for all giveaways and contests on 560 KBLU can be viewed and downloaded at our website, KBLUAM.com.
I may never have met you. We don't go way back. Maybe we wouldn't even be friends if we did. But when you wear a mask, you have my respect. Because your mask doesn't protect you. It protects me. I wear my mask to protect you. Mask up, America.
This Mask Up message is brought to you as a public service by Bowman Smith & Callen, Yuma's people's lawyers.
The Russ Clark Show is brought to you by Quick Refrigeration, now offering excellence in professional plumbing services as well as heating and air conditioning. Visit them at getcoolquick.com and listen to Russ Clark Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Deason Garner Law Firm.
Welcome back, Yuma. This is Life, Death, and Law. I'm attorney Adam Hansen. I'm in the studio with the one and only Mr. Russ Clark. We've been talking a lot today about the president's obligation and opportunity to appoint another Supreme Court justice to the court in the vacancy left by Justice Ginsburg, who died a couple weeks ago. And there's a lot of drama swirling around, and you're going to see this in the news. You're already seeing it. It's been crazy.
Potentially could spool up.
And it's so weird to me because for a party that is so bent on letting me know how much they love to support minorities or women's rights or women, and yet they are going to go after Judge Barrett.
They went after Clarence Thomas.
Sure, but I think that's a male issue versus a female issue. So now we've got a female.
Well, that was a race issue.
Yeah, and let's see, yeah, black and a male. But now we've got a female that's been appointed to the court by President Trump. And if you look at her record, she is a fantastic person. I would encourage you, if you haven't already, just go to YouTube and look up Justice Barrett. I guess she's not Justice Barrett yet, but Judge Barrett. And look at the, watch that, where she was announced on Saturday. And just listen to her talk.
Wonderful.
I felt like, okay, she wasn't a person that I felt like was a lion voice, you know. But she's a mom. And I knew that just by listening to her. She is a mom, and she has these life experiences that only a mother can bring. And I thought that was fantastic. But when you go from what I saw there and then what I Googled and then these articles that I read, you would think she was the devil. I mean, she's the worst person in the world. Because she's Catholic, of course she's going to overturn Roe v. Wade. She's going to wreak havoc on gay marriage and all these things. And I'm thinking to myself, why? No, that's not going to happen. First of all, and that's what they try and push on people. How dare you? She's a radical. She is a radical. No, radical means that I don't care what the Constitution says. I have a social agenda, and therefore I'm going to push that social agenda through the judicial means. The Democratic Party, in my opinion, they view the court as another branch of the legislative nature, meaning they can't get it done in the House and the Senate. Therefore, we're going to throw it to the Supreme Court, and if the Supreme Court doesn't make it go their way, they don't advance that social agenda, then the court is wrong. They got it wrong because the people want this. And the court is not doing its job.
That's revisionist judges.
That's the view of the Democratic Party. We appoint judges to the Supreme Court not to view the Constitution in its context, but rather to advance a social agenda that we can't get through in the House and the Senate because we're not going to agree on it there because it's so radical. So let's throw it to the court. And we need a justice on that court. We need these justices that will say, oh, yeah, this is totally good for America because this is what the people want. It's not what the people want. It's what the Constitution says. So that's the view of the Democratic Party. And so when you have a Merrick Garland that's put forward by Obama who says, I don't care what the Constitution says. I care what the people want now, and I'm going to put it to a popular vote. And if it's a radical idea, I don't really care. I mean, that's what the people want, so I'm going to put that forward. I don't care what the Constitution says. Where on the other hand, you've got this Judge Barrett, who's been appointed. You've got Neil Gorsuch, who was actually confirmed. You've got Brett Kavanaugh, that was confirmed during the Trump administration. And the same arguments were thrown at them in these judicial hearings. How can you possibly put aside your biases and then go rule in favor of a, for example, gay marriage ruling or a Roe v. Wade or abortion hearing issue? How can you possibly do that? You're a staunch Catholic, aren't you? Yes. Well, how can you do that then? There's no possible way that you can be a Catholic and you can go against that.
I think Barrett's answered that very well.
Exactly right. But that's what the Democratic Party doesn't understand. They don't understand that you can actually have a person on the court that puts aside personal biases and actually focuses on the constitutionality of an issue. In fact, if that were not the case, we wouldn't have gay marriage. If that weren't the case, we wouldn't have the Affordable Care Act. And if that wasn't the case, we wouldn't have Roe v. Wade. And all those particular cases that came to the Supreme Court that made those legal in the United States, it's because the conservative court members that were viewed conservative, that were appointed by Republican presidents, they all sided on this is constitutional in some form or fashion. They were able to tie it to a constitutional power in some form or fashion, and they were still conservatives going against technically their conservative beliefs if you were in the House or the Senate or if you were a Catholic or a Mormon or whatever. They were going against those if they were going to tie that together. And they did do that, or else we wouldn't have it historically as the legal precedent, which you look back at those opinions, and really there's nothing constitutionally that upholds them. And Scalia was always one that was and the opposing side of those big opinions that I talked about. You've got the Affordable Care Act during the Obama administration, and you've got the gay rights opinion that was written during the Obama administration. And all those opinions, Scalia was the one that was writing the dissenting vote and saying, this is not constitutional. How are you getting from here to there when there's no constitutional basis for this? How can you say that there's a constitutional right for this or that or the other? And he was always the one dissenting there. And so I think the Democratic Party is very hypocritical when it comes to saying, well, she's going to be an activist. There's no way that she can. Ginsburg was the biggest activist that there was, and she really did nothing for the court. If you look at her legislative history, she wrote no opinions that make any value or do anything for us as Americans. She was really nothing. She has a ton of dissents that, you know, are radical. But thank goodness that they were the dissenting vote and they weren't the actual majority, because they were crazy. They're absolutely crazy, and they had no constitutional bearing. So Ginsburg, as much as they throw this into our face that, oh, we need to, let's have a day of mourning, let's have a national holiday for Ginsburg. Ginsburg was not a good justice. She really did nothing. She was great for advocating for women's rights and things like that before she was appointed by Clinton to the court, but in reality, she did nothing on the court. She was a radical voice that authored a lot of dissents that had no basis in the Constitution, and therefore they weren't the opinion of the court. And as you go through, for those that are listening, if you're not familiar with how the Supreme Court works, they argue issues, and then the majority of the court justices that feel a certain way, will author the opinion for the court according to what the court is going to say. And in those authored opinions, the other justices that didn't agree, they have the opportunity to write a dissent, meaning, I don't agree because blah, 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 and then they'll go off on their tangents, but really it doesn't matter. I mean, in law school, as you read these things, because you have to read a ton of these things a day, you have to read all these opinions by the Supreme Court, I don't really care about the dissents because it's not the law. They lost. They lost in that particular thing, and really the law is only focused on the winning opinion. And therefore, when we're talking about Ginsburg, she was a great woman for her causes. But if you're looking at the news or you're seeing these news articles and you see the left, they have idolized that woman. And recently, like it's been within the last, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years, the notorious RGB, or RBG, it's like, why? She didn't do anything. But they were building something and elevating her to such sainthood in the Democratic Party and as an advocate for women's rights. It's like, really, she didn't do anything. She was a great prosecutor before she went to the court, and she really did advocate for some great cases that I wouldn't argue the way that she argued, but she did. And she did, according to her value system, she did great. But she was a non-issue on the Supreme Court. And so as you're hearing these things, I would just let you know that as you see these articles and they're going to compare Barrett to Ginsburg, and the Democratic Party has already come out and said that they're complete opposites, and that's true. That is true. They're complete opposites because Barrett is a constitutionalist and she cares about the Constitution. She's able to put aside her personal biases, where Ginsburg was not. She did not care about the Constitution, and she was a complete radical on the court. And that's why she really has no historical value when it comes to the court. She has great historical value when it comes to women's rights and getting into the legal field and pushing through glass ceilings and things like that when it comes to women lawyers. But as far as opinions, she's a non-issue. And so don't be fooled by this great Ginsburg that they're going to propose to you. Barrett is so much better. This has been Life, Death, and the Law. We'll talk to you next Monday. Be good.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the Deason Garner Law Firm at 928-783-4575 or visit yumaestateplanning.com.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.